The first thing you have to understand about Sarah is that she doesn't have a mean bone in her body. At least, that's what the HR file says. That's what the guys in senior management say over their third double espresso when they're talking about culture fits and team synergy. Sarah is the girl who remembers your birthday. The one who brings in the artisan sourdough on Mondays. The one who touches your forearm just lightly enough to make you feel like the only person in the room. She's a masterpiece of British politeness. All soft edges and gentle sorries that don't actually mean she's sorry for anything. She ruined my life while offering me a tissue for the tears she caused. And honestly, looking back, I almost want to applaud the efficiency of it. I was the head of strategy at Thorn and Gable. It sounds more prestigious than it was. But in the London marketing world, it meant I had the ear of the CEO and a salary that kept me in designer heels and a flat in Richmond. I worked for 10 years to get that office. I skipped funerals. I worked through bouts of the flu. And I navigated the minefield of corporate ego with the precision of a bomb disposal expert. Then Sarah arrived as my senior lead. She was 32, blonde, effortless, and had this way of tilting her head when you spoke that made you feel like you were the most brilliant person on earth. I liked her. God, I actually liked her. The entanglement didn't start with a shout. It started with a whisper in the break room about a project I was leading for a tier one tech client. We were in the kitchen, and Sarah was stirring a cup of Earl Grey, looking particularly delicate in a cream silk blouse. She looked at me, her eyes wide and shimmering with what I thought was genuine concern. And she said, "I'm sure it's nothing, Elena, but I heard the client was a bit confused by your direction on the sustainability angle. I told them you were just being thorough, of course. It was a tiny seed. I hadn't even heard the client was unhappy. In fact, they'd sent a glowing email an hour prior. But the way she said it, like she was protecting me from a secret shame, made me second-guess the entire deck. That was her signature move, the protection trap. She would defend you in meetings you weren't invited to, using language that sounded supportive, but left a lingering scent of incompetence in the air. She'd say things like, "Elena is doing a marvelous job considering how much she's been struggling with the new data software." Or, "I'm happy to pick up the slack on the presentation. I know Elena's been feeling a bit overwhelmed with her personal life lately." I wasn't struggling with the software. My personal life was fine. But by the time I heard these comments back, the narrative was already set. I was the aging, overwhelmed director, and Sarah was the tireless, loyal deputy holding the fort. The shift in the office was tectonic but silent. My allies, people I'd grabbed drinks with for half a decade, started getting busy when I asked for a quick catch-up. Conversations would die the moment I walked into the room, leaving behind that thick, suffocating silence that smells like a funeral. I'd see them huddled in Sarah's glass-walled office, laughing, leaning in. She wasn't just taking my job. She was harvesting my relationships. She'd invite the juniors out for mentorship lunches, where she'd subtly lament the old-fashioned way the department was being run. She made me a relic before I even hit 40. The microclimax, the moment the floor finally fell out, happened during the Q3 planning session. We were in the boardroom, the big one with the view of the Shard. My boss, Marcus, was looking at the quarterly projections with a frown that could peel paint. I stood up to present my strategy for the next 6 months. My heart hammering against my ribs. I felt it then. The coldness of the room. It wasn't just the air conditioning. It was the way nobody looked at me. Except Sarah. She was sitting to my right, her notebook open, a pen poised elegantly in her hand. She gave me a small, encouraging nod. It was the nod a mother gives a child who is about to fail a piano recital. 10 minutes into my presentation, Marcus interrupted. "Elena, Sarah mentioned that you were looking into pivoting this entire strategy because of the budget leakage. Why isn't that in this deck?" My blood turned to ice. Budget leakage. There was no budget leakage. I looked at Sarah. She looked horrified, her hand flying to her mouth. "Oh, Marcus," she whispered, her voice trembling just enough to sound sincere. "I thought we discussed that in the preliminary. I'm so sorry. I must have misunderstood, Elena. I thought she wanted to keep that under wraps until she'd fixed the accounting errors. The word fixed hung in the air like a guillotine. There were no accounting errors, but the moment she said it, it became the truth. I tried to defend myself, but the more I talked, the more I sounded like I was scrambling. I looked around the table, and for the first time I saw it. My allies weren't just backed away, they were gone. They looked at me with pity, or worse, with the cold calculation of people who knew which way the wind was blowing. Sarah didn't say another word. She just sat there, looking devastated for me, her eyes moist with performative empathy. I was escorted out 2 weeks later. Restructuring, they called it. A mutual parting of ways. I stood on the pavement in the London drizzle, holding a box of my belongings, watching Sarah through the lobby glass. She was talking to Marcus, her hand on his sleeve, her head tilted at that perfect listening angle. She caught my eye for a fraction of a second. She didn't smirk. She didn't gloat. She just gave me a tiny, sad wave and a smile that didn't reach her eyes. The smile of a predator who has finished a very good meal. She didn't ruin me with a scandal or a lawsuit. She ruined me with kindness. She buried me in sorries and thank yous. And just trying to helps. I lost my career, my reputation, and my confidence because I didn't realize that in the corporate jungle, the person offering you a hand is sometimes just checking your pulse to see if you're dead yet. If you see a Sarah in your office, don't look for the knife in her hand. Look for the smile on her face. That's where the real damage is done.